So we are in the Paraklamathalad, the story of Dinah, and we have a couple of things that we need to cover, including a very large Ramban, which Alan is very excited about, apparently. So we begin by saying, "Vatesei Dinah bas Leah." So Dinah, the daughter of Leah, once goes out, "Asher yadal Yaakov leros pifnos haaretz," that who was born to Yaakov to see the daughters of the land. So we pointed out yesterday that the Bas Leah is because she is like Leah, that Leah less Sanua, she was more outgoing, and she went out to greet Yaakov, such as she went out to greet Yaakov, Dinah goes out to greet Shechem, apparently, or at least goes out. So that was what Rashi pointed out. Someone asked yesterday, why does Asher Yaldal Li Yaakov, why is that necessary? Right, so Ramban says that is why Shimon and Levi were connected, but all the other brothers as well were connected to her, as we see later on in the parak. The Or HaChaim, however, says that all three of those, Basleya, Sheyadal Yaakov, Liros, Bivnos Haaretz, all of those are a description of what led her along this way. So, Atetze Dina, so he has the same idea that Rashi does, that just as Leah goes out, Dina goes out as well. What does it mean that she was the daughter of Yaakov? Right, that she was the Bas Yechidal Yaakov, the only daughter of Yaakov. Bas Achas Bein Abanim, one girl amongst many boys. And one girl amongst many boys, as evidenced in my house, the girl often turns out pretty tough and somewhat protected as well. So Odlio's Bas Yaakov, maybe overprotected. So Odlio's Bas Yaakov, Yetzi Lashim Hev Yasa Ba'olam Shebem Tz'os Ze Asa Shechem Mash Asa Kasher Avayer. So she had this name in the world as being the girl, and that perhaps led to what Shechem wanted to do. So what is that? So as we're about to explain. So a gimel, liros bivnos haaretz, al derech omrim. That she wanted to go and see the land, ki Shechem hivi bivnos haaretz, saviv la'ol Yaakov, v'yimisachkin b'klinavel. That there is a redrish that he says that Shechem brought daughters, girls of the land, and around the tent in order to play with her. In order to, the girls would go and they would, play girl games. And she's like, "I'm tired of playing baseball and basketball with my brothers. I'd rather play with a Barbie every once in a while." So that is what drew her out. Let's say it's Dina Lakolam, or they sang and Dina went out to see them. Mizuz Seva Gimel Lidhi Tziyasa. So that is the reason she wanted to see other girls, which she didn't have at home. And all of her siblings were boys. Right, someone quoted this medrash yesterday about that all the boys have an equivalent girl. That's not being quoted here. I'm not sure where that is. I also have heard that in the past, but that's not being quoted here. Right, so if it wasn't for that fact, if it wasn't for the fact that Shechem knew about Dinah, so none of this would have happened either. So that explains the three characteristics of Pasuk Aleph. Next, Pasuk Beis, yes. So Pasuk Beis commented at the end by Yishkav Usa V'yaneha. So we quoted from Rashi yesterday that Shechem slept with her. Shayashtivima is the natural way of having relations, and then Vayana is in the unnatural way of having relations. And perhaps that was also the idea of Inui, that was also the idea of violations. So the Or HaChaim, however, on this says no. That she had relations. The Maisa Ya'el, and one can see in the Gemara in Horios, the Gemara in Horios discusses the actions of Ya'el. Who is the actions of Ya'el? Ya'el, of course, is the one who killed Sisera. In order to kill Sisera in the beginning of Mishpatim, that is the really, really long Haftorah we read Parshas Bishalach. So in order to kill Sisera, she first wanted to get him to sleep, so she seduced him, she gave him all this milk, and then had be with her many, many times. Had be with him. He fell asleep and then he got knocked out, and then he literally got knocked out. Right, that is what Ya'el did to him. So the Gemara has a little discussion there about whether Ya'el, how is she allowed to do this? Because that is, did she gain enjoyment from it? Did she gain hana from it? So the Gemara comments that no, because even though that the act of relations is an act of benefit, if a person is if it's causing them tsar, or a person who is righteous, etc., so they are going to feel tsar from it. So the Rambam says that's what's going on here. I mean, hateva shetihana ha'isha. Generally, a woman will have enjoyment from this act. But with regards to Dina, the tzaddikah's Dina, so it wasn't enjoyable for her. She didn't get any benefit from her. From it, rather, it was all painful for her. That's the way the Or HaChaim reads it, based on that Gemara just says Ya'el, even though it should be an enjoyable act, because she was righteous, she did not gain enjoyment. So to Dina, even though it's technically an enjoyable act, Dina didn't get any enjoyment from her. Fine. Next, Pasuk Zayin. That they were very upset about this. That there was this bad thing that happened in Yisrael, that they slept with this girl, son of the daughter of Yaakov, and such things were not done. So we pointed out yesterday, we quoted Rashi, what are such things that are not done? What is not done? So Rashi says, well, lanos es habsulos, to sleep with virgins, that is not okay. That was something that is not done. Since when is that not okay? That is not okay all the way from the time of the Mabul. Mabul was caused by immorality, and since that time, the minhag, the custom had been that unmarried girls don't get seduced, don't get... and we don't have beer with them. So the, which is a little, I mean, we raised the question yesterday, what about Lot's daughters? Lot's daughter, no one's, they didn't seem to have any compunctions about, they didn't say back to Lot, oh please, we don't want these girls because the minhag is that we don't sleep with such people, right? That wasn't their answer. So what's, and so the Rabban raises that question as well. And he raises it a little bit differently. The wrong Ramban. Oh, there it is. V'chein lo yaseh. He says, I don't understand this, because we know that the Kananim were involved in Arayos, and not just Arayos in terms of immoral activity with single women, but with animals and with men, right? So they're purely immoral. So what do you mean that wasn't what was going on? So
he's asking on the pasuk the fact that it seems as if
right, and the pasuk in fact says don't marry, don't join with those people. There's a pasuk in Vayikra which the Rambam quotes. He has called toivos hakel asu anshei aretz, because the people of the land do all these terrible immoral things. So Rashi says, you think they're only doing immoral things during the time? The Rambam says, you think they're only doing immoral things during the time of Moshe? They're doing immoral things since the time of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There's plenty of immorality that's going on in the land. So what does Rashi mean that these are not the things that get done? So rather, what does the Rabban explain v'chein lo yaseh to mean? So rather, it means what? Oh, I'm sorry. Nimshach im bi Yisrael ki nevela asa bi Yisrael v'chein lo yaseh. Al kein amar bi Yisrael ki nenu nevela bein haknanim, that we don't want to be with the Kananim. That's the things that are not done. I mean, these things are not done that we should have our daughter be either raped or seduced by somebody who is a Kenani. That's the Ramban's pshat of V'chein lo yaseh. One more pshat in terms of what it means V'chein lo yaseh. So the Sforno says, there it is, V'yitzatzfu anshei v'yichar. So he says, why were they so upset? This terrible thing that happened to Yisrael, it was sad that there was a bizayon for the Jews, or we didn't call them Jews yet, but they were bizayon for the children of Yaakov. Even though by the Kananim it wasn't, but what was not done? That they would take the daughters of the most important people of the generation. That v'chein lo yaseh isn't that people wouldn't have affairs with single women. I'm not sure it's called an affair then, but they wouldn't have do this activity with single women. But they wouldn't take those single women, a single woman of a chashev person of Yaakov, etc. That's what's not done. L'ficha char lahem al shenasta kizos negdam. Rather, that's why they were so upset with the people of Shechem, and not just them, Shimon and Levi, but all of the children of Yaakov. All of them were upset with regards to the things that Shimon and Levi had done. So we have three pshatim on this. Rashi saying b'chein lo yaseh, that nobody would do such things. Pshat number two is that of the Ramban saying that No, that it was just that they, that it was a Kanani that did it to us. And Pshat number three is, things are not done in that, you know, Yaakov is an important person. How could the daughter of Yaakov, how could such a thing have happened to him? Now, the second two Pshatim seems to, we raise the question with Rashi later. What do you mean, really? The Kanani were known as immoral people. How could you say that such things are not done? I mean, there's a single girl. What's like, I understand it was bad, but what's like, what's so crazy? So what motivates Rashi to say what Rashi says? So I was thinking, the only way, because if for the people of Shechem to be punished, right, it has to be that they knew that they did something wrong. If it was only something that was subjective to the daughter of Yaakov, it's hard to say what was the allowance for the children of Yaakov to go and kill the people of Shechem. It has to be something that was obvious to the people of Shechem that they were doing wrong. Right, and that's what, and that therefore Rashi says, "Tashin ganat dan." That everybody knows that you don't take such girls. Okay, that might be why what advantage Rashi's pshat would have. Right,
no,
great. Oh, what?
I don't remember. Let me get three levels here. It's not done in society. These guys were below the level of society. They're Canaanites. That's like really bad.
Well, they were society, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the norm of seven laws of Noah, they don't really follow them. And two, they're kind of were elevated. We're like you're attacking the king or the prince.
Right.
A royal official.
Are you that the Jews are elevated or that Yaakov is elevated? Those
right,
are the
right,
two.
Right. Yeah, okay. So, and they're like below you. But okay. I thought there was a law, in the Mike law, they had to punish them. They didn't do
it. Hold on. Okay. So with that, we move on to the Ramban. So there is this hovering question over this entire parak, not the entire parak, but the entire second half of the parak is, what in the world is going on here? Right? That there's a king who takes Dina, and then Shimon and Levi take it upon themselves to kill an entire city. Right? How does such a thing happen? So that is really the focus. I was thinking that we'd save it for tomorrow, and that would just be the halachic shir, but maybe not. I think we'll be able to just cover it today. So the Ramban, which as you can see, well, some of you maybe can see, Pasuk Yud Gimel is extremely lengthy, and he actually seems to be focusing on two things. The first thing is the short thing. That why is it, the question that we raised yesterday, why is it that the sons of Yaakov answered before Yaakov can answer? Right, that seems to be a little bit disrespectful. So the Ramban actually says, interesting, that no, they don't want Yaakov to have to answer such a question. For Yaakov to have to get into the mud and start discussing such things with Shechem is already a degradation to Yaakov. So the son stepped in to answer that question in order so that Yaakov would be absolved from having to get into such types of such issues.
So Ramban, to put that in the context of keep it off.
Yeah, so you could then say that it wasn't a bad thing. It was a
keep it off.
Yeah. So then question number two then is, okay, so what exactly was their mirma? What was their trickery that they were trying to do? What was their attempt? So they knew that this can't happen. They knew that their sister Dina cannot marry Shechem. So, the question is, you're going to constantly have this issue throughout the understanding the halachic nature of the rest of the parak, right? Assuming that Shimon Levi and the other brothers, because the other brothers were involved as well, assuming that they are tzaddikim, so what will allow them to do it? But the problem is, if there's too strong of a halachic idea as to why they should do it, then you have to ask the other question of, why did Yaakov get upset with them? So you kind of have to find something that is a valid reason, but not too much of a valid reason, in order to kind of thread the needle between the machlokas that Yaakov had, not necessarily machlokas, but the dialogue that Yaakov has with his children. The only way, you have to find something that there's room for debate between Yaakov and his children. So first, the Ramban just points out that the other brothers were in on it. What was their plan? I mean, the original question of everybody should get a bris, that wasn't Shimon and Levi's idea, that was everyone's idea. So what was everyone thinking when he told all of them to get a bris? So when he said that the entire city has to be circumcised. So the first answer, that their first idea was, great, let's tell them all to get circumcised. So Shem's going to go back and tell all those people, by the way, needs to be right? you need to have a bris down there. So what did the brothers expect the people to answer Shem at that point?
No.
Are you crazy? You want us to do that? Right? Sorry, not a chance. Right? That was what their hope was going to be. And then they could say, alright, well sorry, we're moving on. Right? That was the original plan. But if they actually did go ahead with it, so they did have a backup plan for that, that the imulai yishmu l'nisayim, and if they would listen to the princes, and their plan was they were just going to go ahead and take the daughters away, I guess hold them ransom or something like that, and that was the idea that they had. Right, that they weren't going to go ahead and kill anybody, they were just going to go and take the daughters. I assume, he doesn't say explicitly, I assume to hold them ransom and then to have the first lopsided prisoner exchange in history, but the opposite way, that we'll give you all 300, 500 girls back on condition you give us Dina back.
If their thought was that Shem and were not going to buy into this bris deal. Is there any understanding of what they would have done then?
That's what they're. That, no, if they.
Since they're gonna,
if they didn't go ahead with the deal, then they would have gotten Dina back. They wouldn't have gone ahead with the deal. They would have said, "Listen, sorry, we can't do it. It's intermarriage. We're moving on."
Yeah.
Right. But they didn't. What? If they would. What?
What happens?
I don't know.
What did he say? Shem comes and says, I want to marry your daughter.
Yes.
They said, well, we can't do that because that's an intermarriage. The only way we could do that is if we all go, is if you become the same nation.
Okay.
Right? So the expectation was is that they wouldn't become the same nation. Shem would say, all right, what can I do? We tried having a gentleman's agreement and it didn't work out, so Dina would come back. I think that was the theory if they wouldn't have had the bris. The fact that they did have the bris, so what was the plan then? The plan was they'd all be weak and we'd go and take all the girls and then be able to get Dina back. Shimon and Levi then went further, and instead of just taking the girls back, they just killed everyone. Okay? That's
a small step.
So that explains the anger of Yaakov. The anger that Yaakov had with Shimon and Levi is, that wasn't the plan. The plan was that we were going to try for a prisoner exchange, and you went ahead and went too far. Fine. The next thing the Ramban is, and that is really the bulk of that very lengthy Ramban, is what were Shimon and Levi thinking? What was the permission that Shimon and Levi had in order to go ahead and kill? So then he gets into this halakhic discussion of what is the status of the Shiva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. I remember Shefter once discussed this, and he said, it's interesting, this Ramban is a commentary on Chumash, and he discusses halakha. He has a machlokas with the Rambam. The Rambam is a halakhic work, and he's giving a parish on Chumash. Right? So what he first begins by quoting the Rambam, and the Rambam, in his discussion of the Shiva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, says, oh, and by the seven Noahide laws, so the punishment for all the seven Noahide laws is death, right? So what the seven Noahide laws, Aver Minachai, and the big three, Gilei Arayos, murder, immoral activities, Avodah Zarah, stealing, and then I'm missing one. No, Aver Minachai, stealing, right, that's five, and then the court system is seven, but then there's six.
Stealing.
It's found in your Chumashim, I think at the end of Parshas Noach, it lists the seven Noach laws.
Oh, you can't.
There it is.
God.
Theft, court system, right, and not cursing God. There you go. That was the blessing, right? Birchas Hashem, right? Very good. So, what's the punishment for violating the seven Noahide laws? Death. Even for stealing, the punishment is going to be death. So comes the Rambam and says, so what was the problem? The problem was is that the seventh Noahide law is to set up a court system. And how could it be that Shechem would possibly get away with such a thing and nobody would prosecute him, right? When anybody does something wrong, no matter what their status is, even if they were Secretary of State, they should be prosecuted for their wrongdoings. So this court system was non-existent. So therefore, the people need to die for violating the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, for violating one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Right, and that was setting up a court system. And therefore, who is culpable for that? Says the Rambam, everyone is culpable for that. And therefore, the entire city deserves to die. That's the pshat that the Rambam gives. To this story. Now you have a little bit of a question. Well, okay, if it's such a clear halachic principle, so why did only Shimon Levi go ahead and do it? Right, these are the questions that everybody asks. Why is only Shimon Levi doing it? Everybody should have gone ahead and done it. And also, why is Yaakov not happy? Right? Yaakov should be happy that they went ahead and go ahead and do it. So those are the questions that the Ramban asks on the Rambam. Fine. So, what is the pshat that the Ramban gives as to why they were deserving of death? If you have the Ramban is the paragraph beginning with the word aval inyan Shechem. The idea of what goes on in Shechem, kibinei Yaakov bavur shayu anshei Shechem rishayim v'damam chashuk lehem kimayim ratzuli nakim mehem b'cherev nokmos v'horgo hamelech v'chol anshei iro ki avadavim. So he says simply, they were immoral people, and they deserved to die. And just as the Jews, when they come into the land later on, so they're supposed to destroy the seven nations that are there. So too, that's what's going on here. They're just an immoral nation that deserved to be killed. Now, why then was Yaakov so upset with them? So the Ramban says, oh, Yaakov was upset with them because maybe they had the ability to do tshuva. Meaning the mitzvah was there, but it was not a be-all and end-all obligation, it sounds like. I mean, it sounds like they have the right to go and kill them for immoral activities, but you don't have the obligation because at that point they still had the opportunity to do tshuva. Later on, when the Jews came in order to conquer the land, that opportunity was lost. But at this point, they still have the ability to do tshuva. So you went around and killed the entire city. Why did you kill the entire city when they still had the ability that they could have done tshuva?
Do we understand that with respect to all of the Sheva Mitzvahs, that whoever is not doing them?
No. One of the questions that the Ramban has on Rambam is he says, wait a second. I understand the other six of the seven Noahide laws will carry with it a death penalty. All of those six, they have done a negative commandment. They've done a mitzvah slo tase. Yeah. They've murdered, they've stolen, right. they've cursed Hashem. This is not a negative commandment. This is a positive commandment. So how can you kill somebody for not doing a positive commandment? To which the Rambam could answer, well, sorry, them's the rules. The rules are, by the seven Noahide laws, don't exactly follow the principles of the 613 mitzvahs as they pertain to Jews. But that was a possibility that the Ramban, that was one of the questions that the Ramban had. That this is different, and therefore they didn't deserve to die for that. So bottom line is, the Rambam says, why did they deserve to be killed? They deserve to be killed because they didn't set up a court system, a flagrant violation of one of the seven mitzvahs of Noach. The Ramban says, no. The Ramban says the reason that they were killed is because they did not set up a... is because they were just simply immoral. Now, that didn't necessarily carry with it an obligation to kill them, but that carried with it a right, or maybe even a mitzvah, that Shimon and Levi undertook in order to kill them. But of course, by killing them at that point, you remove the possibility of them ever doing teshuva. The Or HaChaim, later on, in Pasuk Chaf Hei, gives a couple of other reasons that they had the right to kill them. And one of the reasons the Ramban simply says that they were all in violation of conspiracy to commit kidnapping. They were all involved in the deed, that they all protected Shechem, and therefore they were culpable in the kidnapping. That's A. Or B, okay, that, right, or two, or B, that they could have that they formed the barrier in order to they have an obligation to kill Shechem. What did all the people of the city do?
They protected
Shechem. So how are they going to kill Shechem? They have to go. They're going to go ahead and do it. These people are going to kill them before they get to Shechem. What are those people then called at that point? They are called Rumpfim. They are called pursuers, and therefore they had the right to kill the entire city. That's the two pshatim that the Orach Chaim gives. There's one more part to the story.
To get to Shechem, they had to get to the rest of the people first.
Right. That's the pshat that the Orach Chaim gives. Now the Orach Chaim adds in one more factor, and that is, what right did the rest of the brothers have to come in and take all their stuff?
Right.
So the answer is because there's also something called boshes. They took it. That was part of the nezek. That this caused great embarrassment. This caused great damage. And along with that action comes along an obligation to pay back the damages. So the people came in and took all of their stuff. All of that is included in the Orach Chaim. So bottom line, four reasons, possible reasons out there. There's more reasons as well. But four reasons that we learned as to why they were permitted to, why Shimon Levi killed the entire people. Number one, because they didn't consider the court system. That's the Rambam's idea. The Ramban is that they were immoral people. The third is the Orach Chaim saying that they were protecting Shechem from them killing Shechem. Or D is that they were culpable in the act of Shechem in raping Dina in the first place, and therefore because it qualifies as one of the Shulis Fenei Noach, they deserve to die. And finally, because there was Nezek involved, there was damage involved, the people had the right, the Bnei Yaakov had the right to come in and take all of their stuff.
Now they took the women and the children also. So what happened
to all of them?
What happened? Did they marry these daughters?
That I don't know. Maybe
children, or did they just leave them? You know, as they moved on, they just left them there.
Married their sister.
I don't know. Don't have an answer for that right now.
Where the boys got their.